The House and Senate budget plans for fiscal 2016 could transform the federal workforce. The House plan would save $281 billion over 10 years through staffing cuts and benefits reforms. The Senate plan would use the same techniques to save over $170 billion. Jeff Neal, Senior Vice President at ICF International, former Chief Human Capital Officer at the Homeland Security Department, and looking at some potential consequences of the budget plans for agencies. The first thing I think we should do before we look at all of this stuff and freak out, though, Jeff, is take a deep breath. And I appreciate the way that you've done this in your post on the chiefhro.com blog, and we've linked it to at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Maybe we should prioritize these as the ones that are worse and more likely to happen rather than the ones, some of them are really bad, but hardly likely to happen at all. Is that fair to do you think?
Hi, Francis. Yes, it is. There are some proposals floating around now that will get people's blood boiling, but they have about as much chance of happening as I have, you know, becoming 20 years. It's just not going to happen. But there are some pretty serious proposals out there that could happen, and I think they could have some pretty significant impacts on federal employees.
You write about... go ahead.
Well, for example, this idea of increasing the employee contribution to the Civil Service Retirement Fund, I think has a good chance of passing. The likelihood of going from a high 3 to a high 5 for retirement calculations, you know, that may not happen this year, but at some point it's going to, because the number of people in the private sector who actually have defined benefit retirement plans like that is shrinking every year. And at some point the government program is going to start looking like a luxury. It used to just be that was what good employers did. You had a good retirement plan for your workforce. But it's not what people are doing these days, and the federal government starts to stick out more and more. It's kind of funny. The federal government sticks out more and more for actually having a good retirement plan and treating its employees well. And then, of course, people will want to change that.
The two of them that you combine in this post that are strike me as maybe the most difficult ones to deal with because they, as you say, seem to be more likely. You mentioned the cutting of the contributions to retirement plans on the government's part, making employees pay more. And you combine that one with the reducing of the interest rate on the G fund and the thrift savings plan. I mean, essentially what they would do is they'd turn the G fund into a cash fund. The money that you put in there wouldn't ever really grow. And for... I understand that there are a lot of people who are either in the G fund and shouldn't be, or who are in the G fund and at least shouldn't be in as much as they're in. But the fact remains that they're in, and that's potentially tremendously devastating to somebody's financial future if the G fund winds up going to interest rate zero. If it essentially becomes a savings account.
Absolutely. It is. It would be very, very bad for the federal workforce. You know, right now, federal employees have invested over $400 billion in TSP, and 43% of that is in the G fund. And a lot of people go to the G fund because it's low risk. It does give you a return. It's way better than a savings account. And it's a very low risk, safe investment. So a lot of people go to that. And you know, a lot of people are very risk averse, and the idea that they could lose their principal is just something that some people can't bear. So what I'm afraid will happen is if this happens, and by the way, the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board that oversees the TSP is strongly opposed to this idea. They think it's a very bad thing for the retirement system and for TSP in general, and for the retirees. But what would happen, I think, is people who have left government, who are keeping money in TST because it's a low-cost investment program, if they lose that stability of the G fund as one of the options, it may cause them to just roll their money out into an IRA. And when retirees start rolling their TST money out into an IRA or some other account, it has the effect of increasing the cost of administration for people who are federal employees who are in the system, still paying into the system right now. So that's a huge problem. And so, and this one is one of those that just comes across as a little bit mean. You know, that it's not like the J fund is paying 10%. It's paying a relatively small percentage. It's just that it's way better than a savings account. You know, I don't know if you've looked at savings account interest recently, but it's
it's zero.
It's better than zero, but it's like pennies. It's nothing.
Well, it doesn't keep up with the rate of inflation, though, even though the rate of inflation's been the lowest in history in the last couple of years.
Oh, that's right. Savings accounts will never, ever keep you up with inflation. And what they're proposing here is basically, as you said, to turn the G fund into a glorified savings account. We're talking about, it's really amazing, at the same time we're talking about cutting federal retirement and asking people to rely more and more and eventually exclusively on TSP for their retirement plan, we're also talking about whacking TSP in a way that means those folks would have less money when they retire.
Well, and would certainly make it less attractive to get started in the thrift savings plan in the first place, Jeff.
It does, and particularly for young people. And you and I probably would look at some 22-year-old and say, you've got to start thinking about retirement. And they would look at us like we're crazy. But it's really incredibly important, particularly if they lose that defined benefit program at some point. It's incredibly important that people start investing in TSP young, invest as much as they can, and keep it there until they retire. And anything that discourages that hurts those employees in the long run. And it doesn't benefit this society to have a bunch of poor old folks retiring. It just doesn't help. Those folks need to be able to have some money to retire on. And these types of proposals make it less likely that people would be able to have a reasonable standard of living in retirement.
Another issue that you address in this piece on the chiefhro.com blog, and we have it at federalnewsradio.com also, Jeff, is the issue of official time. And I need to pay a lot more attention to official time than I have. You provide in this piece some good insight into that we don't have time to get into today, because I want to talk about something else that you and I have discussed before in the time that we have left. And that is the issue that you write about reducing due process for federal employees. You write, we have a long history in government that shows what happens when civil service protections don't exist. The spoils system that existed before the Pendleton Act did not serve the people well. We obviously have some folks in Congress that are not interested in history, I suppose.
I think that's absolutely true, but if you go look at what happened with federal employment pre-Pendleton Act, it was atrocious. There were people being thrown out of government right and left. People were being hired based on who they knew and who they voted for and who they gave money to, and then they were being fired for the same reasons. We cannot stand to go back to a spoils system for federal employment. And I know some people look at federal employment and say, well, this is some sort of lifetime deal. And it's not. It's actually just it's ensuring that what we have is a professional civil service where people are not hired and fired based on their politics. And I don't think many people in this country would want to see a civil service that was full of political hacks. That's just, you know, we probably have more politicians than we need already. And turning the civil service into something that's just a home for politicians is not good for the people. It's not good for our government, and nobody benefits from it.